You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine. How are you this morning?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Let's get stuck into some questions from the listeners about employment and unionisation, etc., etc.
Sounds good.
We've got a text from someone who said, "Hey Justine, can my boss discipline me for actively seeking other employment opportunities? They found out I've been interviewing for other jobs and they had a meeting with me about how it's not okay. This feels a bit weird."
That would be because it is a bit weird. Yeah, that strikes me as very strange. I think the way that an employer reacts to an employee seeking work, other work, says a lot about them as an employer. You know, firstly, you're super entitled to apply for jobs. Your boss doesn't own you. You are a free agent, and you signed a contract, and in that contract, that gives you the right to resign, give notice. You know, there's all those stipulations. So I just want to really, like, put that, like, stress that, I guess. You know, if a good employer is going to, one, have a chat with an employee about why they might be leaving, and, you know, if it's opportunities and things like that, possibly looking at what, you know, the current workplace might be able to do to develop them and try to keep them if that's what they want. But it's not about making them feel like you owe them something or they own you, because they don't. So that's a huge red flag to me. And no, you're absolutely entitled to apply for jobs, and you can't get in trouble for that either, though I know it happens, you know. And I think that really speaks to the entitlement that a lot of employers have over their workers, and it's completely it's unacceptable. We have to push back against it, you know. Like, as you, like, you make a choice to work there, and if it's no longer hitting all your, you know, there's other opportunities around. Like, and if your employer wants to keep you, they need to think about how they might be able to do that, not guilt you or make you feel like you've done something horribly wrong by looking at other employment opportunities. So, yeah, that doesn't feel right to me at all, and I'm really sorry that you've been through that. You know.
Yeah, good to trust your gut when it feels a bit weird.
Absolutely.
Probably because it is. That's good to know. What else have we got here, Stella?
This person texted in saying, "Hi Justine, my workplace is unionised, but we're beginning to see little hints of union busting going on. Our superiors will often hold meetings with individuals and offer them subtle outs of the union in exchange for workplace benefits. Is union busting actually legal, or how do we combat it?"
I think we get trapped a lot in what's legal and not legal, in the sense that, like, a lot of pretty shady illegal things happen in workplaces every day. So to really answer the question, no, union busting is not legal. Does it happen? Yes. Do employers get taken to task on it? Often not. This is a, you know, in terms of what's happening here, this does sound like this is union busting. What I would do about it in a unionized workplace is make sure that you've got high union visibility. So if you've got, you know, every union should have at least one board, possibly in the staff room, where you can advertise the union, you can, you know, put posters up about the benefits. You can also call a union meeting, maybe at the end of a staff meeting, just have 5 minutes with the delegates and other union members and just discuss what's going on. The key, like, the antidote to union busting is visibility and solidarity, yeah? And so, you know, getting all your workmates together and just being on the same page about this kind of stuff, really good. Having some visibility, really good. Call your union as well. Might be a good time for the organizer to come pay a visit. So definitely would flag that as well with the union. This kind of thing does happen, and we just, the only kind of response you have is just staying united and being solidarity with one another, because that's what they're most frightened of and why they pick people off as individuals, right? It's not like they're having a big company-wide meeting. It's, you know, it's all about getting people one-on-one, because that's, you know, they know that our collectivism is our strength.
Totally. Speaking of, someone's just sent in a text now saying, "Hey Justine, I am a member of a union, but I am not part of a unionized workplace. But my boss makes a lot of jokes about unionization. I think he's anxious about some of us being members of private union members." The gist of this, sorry, it's quite a long text. The gist of this seems to be, is that okay? How do they manage that? They're not a unionized workplace, but they are union members. Seems that their boss has an idea of that and is making some jokes about it. What's the gist here? How do you manage this? Sounds like a tricky situation.
Totally normal to feel anxious about that. And, you know, it's probably normal as well for an employer boss to feel a bit threatened by unionization, eh? Because that's worker power. Yep. And a lot of bosses don't want that. So, you know, let's just be frank about that. Look, any kind of negative consequences for joining a union is absolutely illegal, and we, you know, very, very much protect people mm-hmm. in these situations, and that's where the union, you know, we wrap, like, there is support. It's not okay. Firstly, just want to put that on the table as, like, you know, absolutely just the floor. But, you know, in terms of a non-unionized workplace, you're joining the union because if something goes wrong, you've got the support there, yeah?
Yeah.
You're not, it's not because of collective bargaining, which is what we do when the workplace is unionized and we can bargain a contract. So, you know, I think, like, there's no need to, like, until we have enough people to get a collective agreement, and I'll recommend you call the union and talk to them about it and raise that if that's what you're after. You keep it on the down low. It's a bit like dating before you're official. You're not ready to tell people yet.
soft launch your union representation.
We're soft launching it, okay? We're not hard launching on Instagram. We're not official yet. So that's all good. You know, keep it on the down low. I don't want to say you need to be scared. As I said, like, you are protected, but you don't quite yet have the strength of being a unionized workplace. Yeah. Mm. So keep it on the down low. We're soft launching the union. You don't worry about it. I wouldn't talk to your boss about it until until you're ready. You know what I mean? For the hard launch. But let him make those jokes. That's good. That's your power that he's scared of.
Hard out.
Literally.
Maybe use the sort of reactions of your colleagues to clock who else might be ready to also join the union too, you know?
Absolutely. And I think it's great that he's bringing this up, so it's on people's minds, you know? It's an opportunity, really. Treat it as an opportunity. But I can understand why that would be a bit scary, but I think what you should be happy about is that he's kind of scared.
Yeah. Hey, there is power in a union. Hey, thank you so much, Justine, for your mahi this morning. We will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Sounds good. Kia ora. Thanks, guys.
Kia ora.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.